beautiful picture of heaven. And then he's aware of the sin in his heart. And then he begins to deal with it. Would you take the coals from the altar and just burn my lips? I want to burn the sin out of my life. And today we're going to break bread and celebrate that Jesus has done exactly that. And, you know, from that place of having dealt with our sin, we can then pray and stand in the gap for this country. Who loves South Africa? You better put your hands up as people are watching. And the Lord. Okay, let's start with who's very unhappy that they've ended up in Joburg. Okay. You know what? God will minister to you as well. This is God's city. I know everybody believes they're in the best city in the world. I believe that. God has taken this amazing city, which many, many write off, and he's used it to impact the world with the gospel. I want to continue to be part of that. I just thank God for that because his plans are awesome. And so we've prayed and fasted. We've had various sessions across the sites. And this morning I thought we're going to carry on with that. Give everybody an opportunity to pray and join together as a church. The one thing that is so important, and we see from the beginning, Book of Acts, chapter 1, when they were all together in one place, they began to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the first time. And we're going to pray again, Lord, would you pour out your Spirit in this country. So here's two of the scriptures that really grip my heart. They're going to come up on the screen. Isaiah 55, 10 to 14. For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Isn't that interesting? God's word feeds us and it gives us something to plant, something to give, something to share with others. This is the message of the gospel. I receive forgiveness so that I can share with others this incredible message. And then it says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And God spoke salvation over this earth, and his word is going to be accomplished. Don't be put off by the, you know, the wars. And again, there's a report that Iran is, you know, going after Israel, and this country is going after that country, and so on and so on. But God's word is going to bring forth a harvest. For you shall go out in joy. Anytime you're allowed to say yahoo or hip hip hooray or whatever, and be led forth in peace. It's amazing. Now, in the midst of all of this, joy and peace are going to define us. The mountains and the hill before you will break forth into singing. And that's symbolical of the nations. The nations are going to break forth into singing. And all the trees, and look around you, there's a whole lot of trees. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isn't that beautiful? Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That they may see and know, may consider and understand together, that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. So there's an impossibility that is possible with God. Always. You look at your life and the salvation that you're enjoying. Many people looked at you and they said, biggest troublemaker. Never would I ever imagine you to be born again. And you yourself, even though you think you're the best on the planet, it's a miracle that you are born again. And God delights in taking what isn't and making it possible. So much so, here's a picture, next slide. There's a thorn will become a cypress. Or a briar, that's a briar patch. It's like, imagine falling into a briar patch. You lift up and you got a thorn in your backside, you got a thorn in your head, you got a thorn everywhere. Some of you think somebody's a thorn in your backside, but imagine that's like the world and its systems. Or myrtle. Like, I'm not into trees. Elaine's husband, Gerald, taught me to love trees. Me and them have a little... Anyway, let's not go there. So now, put this into practical terms, because remember the Old Testament's picture language for what spiritual reality God wants to see in this planet, in this earth, in this city of ours. And that is, what seems impossible can become absolutely possible. You think of, just take some things now, name them. Corruption. Thorns can become cypresses. Briars can become myrtle. Through our prayers, the impossible situation of this country can turn around and become something beautiful. Through us praying and fasting, yes, we need to do that exactly. Because we are not, I'm not here just, you know, let's have a little 1 degree change. No, we are trusting God for radical change. And prayer can do it. The next scripture is Isaiah 41, 17 to 20. And I think as we look at our country's past 30 years of the new South Africa, there is still division all over the place. And it's not just with racial division. It's, you know, imagine being a foreign national in this country. They kind of feel like they're hunted animals. You know, it's like every system in this country is against them. Why can't they be treated with respect? And it is chronic. And then, of course, the big differences between rich and poor, and so we go. When the poor and needy seek water and there's none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Okay, so God is answering prayer through us praying. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Again, as we, those who are interceding, look, we see dry land, we see desert, we see Dead Sea and the rest. But God says he's going to bring these rivers, these fountains, these pools of water and these springs of water. That's what we're holding on for. I will put in the wilderness the cedar, acacia, myrtle, and olive. I'll set in the desert, cypress, plane, and the pine together. I've underlined it twice. It says together, that they may see and know and consider the understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. So what does God create? Unity. As we pray and as the kingdom comes and this river kind of brings us into a place where we're all in unity. There's one place we're in unity, and that's in God's kingdom. And that's what we trust in him for. Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. Just want to talk a little bit about breaking bread. It's interesting, the two ordinances that we are given in Scripture. Number one, water baptism. If you have not been baptized, is there water there? Somebody say yes, no, yes. If you've not been baptized, you need to. We get saved. And we get baptized, and the baptism is to identify with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Okay, that we do once. Not every time you feel guilty and you feel like you need to get water baptized, we do it once. The second ordinance is breaking bread. And it says as many times or as often as you get together, and in any context, you on your own, you with your wife, you with your family, you with your friends, when we get together in life group, when we get together like this, we should have the habit of using the meal to break bread. The meal is a reminder to us, because the one thing we do is we don't forget our eating. And that's the, you know, the most important time, just to take a moment and to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do today, is remember the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at breaking bread, Acts 2:42. Then we're going to sing and we're going to break bread together as we break our fast. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Okay, so the response of a people who've been newly born again, those who have received Christ into their lives, and those who have been filled with the Spirit, those who have been baptized, this is how we live out our Christianity. So obviously the first thing is, if you're not born again, you need to be born again. And the whole purpose of us praying and fasting is not to convert Joburg into some kind of cornerstone philosophy or new covenant way of life. Meaning NCMI. No, the new covenant is through the blood of Christ. So if you're here today and you haven't been born again, there's going to be your starting point. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, God wants you filled with the Spirit. We can pray for you. And if you haven't been baptized in water, we can do that as well. We can end our meeting with that. And the only precursor to being baptized in water is that you are born again. And if you've never been baptized in water, it's so important because it's a demonstration to the world, to yourself, to your friends around you that I belong to Him. I'm going to die to my sin and I'm going to rise in new life to Christ. Who wants to be baptized in water? We'll ask a little later. One. Anybody else? Two. Anybody else? That is awesome. Three, four, five. Wonderful. Very good. We need a point man. Mervyn's your point guy. Please stand up, Mervyn. Mervyn, at appropriate time, is going to take you to the back and just share scriptures with you. We got very fashionable baggies, so you won't look out. We've got some spare t-shirts, we've got towels, we've got everything you're going to need to get that done. So don't worry about it. The main thing here is in our hearts, we know it's the right thing to do. Yes, amen. So that's cool. So devotion means I give my life to this. I give my life to the Word of God. I give my life to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayers. Why breaking bread? Because it is the very remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And we must never move from that, ever. Because I owe everything to Him. Everything that I am and have and every bit of future and every bit of forgiveness that I'm living in now is not because of my great ability to kind of do mental or emotional or spiritual gymnastics. It's I've received a free gift of salvation. And that's what we remember, the blood and the body. The body that was broken, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we need to be saved. And so it's He died on the cross. He suffered the pain. He went through all of that. So I don't have to do that. So we eat in remembrance. And then we drink the cup representing His blood, which is a new covenant. So there was an old way of life. And I've got a new way of life. Isn't that awesome? New way of life as His strength, His grace. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I just cannot thank Him enough for that. And so if you haven't been born again, who would like to receive Christ into their hearts this morning as Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. We've got some people that want to be baptized. If you've never asked Christ into your heart, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you now. We can do that. My scanners are scanning. Great. I'm going to give you another opportunity when we get together in groups to break bread. So turn with me. It'll come up over there to 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. I think it'll be good just to refresh our understanding of this. And we should always remember so that we can break bread with understanding. Not a ritual. You know, it's not, you know, kind of, you know, it's that time again and we go through this thing and that makes us part of Cornerstone or makes us Christians. No, it's the understanding as we break bread of what has taken place and the current state I'm in because of Him. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when He was betrayed took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread of the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner." In other words, it's just some kind of ritual. No, there's purpose and meaning. "Will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person," there's an interesting word, "examine himself or herself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So there's a seriousness, a celebration, and a kind of, "Man, Lord, I just want to renew myself in my relationship with you. It's all about you. It's all about your sacrifice And I'm the beneficiary of that great grace. And that should give us reason to shout like those who walked around Jericho. We are free. Isn't that awesome? Nothing can hold me back or hold me down. And so from that passage, here are the points. So when we break bread, we do this. We look back, we look up, we look forward, we look inward, and we look around. There we have it all. From that passage of Scripture, we look back when we break bread to Jesus' death on the cross. Don't ever forget, it started there. Never started the day you said, wow, I'm going to be born again, you know. Now Christianity came into being. No, it was way back there. He forgave you there. And the day you accept him is the day it's appropriated. The transaction takes place. This is where, you know, heaven meets my heart and I accept what has been done. So through his death, and so we remember, thank you, Lord, that when you died there and the death on the cross was painful, it was the most excruciating pain anybody could ever have experienced. And he shed his blood. It was for me. And we look up. We look up. As we see that, we look up and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because there's but no other means. And you can go and study the religions of the world, and many have, trying to disprove Christianity and trying to find another way, or surely every religion is the same. No, there is only one way, one truth, and one life, and that's through Jesus. And so we say thank you to him. Most of those who were great philosophers and religious leaders died saying they were still looking for truth, died saying they were still looking for some kind of answer. And they never rose from the dead. That's the issue. We are not arrogant in that. We are sure. Because that's why we put our lives in his hands. So we look up and we never, like we have done this morning, we just continue to say thank you for the rest of our lives. We look forward in hope. Forward, because he's coming. And so we do this until he returns. And when he returns, then we have that great wedding feast. So what's the best food you know? Italian, hands up. Yeah, Italians are best for me. Greek? Oh yeah, we're dividing this church into its different parts. Lebanese? Oh yeah, I've got to put my hand up, otherwise I get slapped at home. Right. And so braai. Yeah. More hands than anywhere else. Braai and pup has got to be what they're going to serve at the wedding feast. Piles of pup. Chakalaka, boerewors, chops with lots of fat on it, and sirloin steak with a nice rendering on the side. You can see about prayer and fasting, eh? Can you imagine the wedding feast? It's going to have physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual dynamics to it that are going to blow our minds. Absolutely. Yes, I tell you, it's awesome. And then it's the setting in of the rule and reign of Christ without any blemish and sin and death and anything. It's just going to be this awesome time forever. Wow. Now, that's when we break bread. We're looking forward to the return of Jesus. Man, my heart is just full of this. And then we look inward in humility. Let a person examine himself. Actually, the scripture says there, tries to be kind. It actually says some get sick and even die because we treat Christianity as just some kind of ritual. No, we examine our hearts. That's the point where we can do business. Would you forgive me for my sin, Lord? And so that's why we say you can't just break bread because it's like a family thing to do. You break bread because you're born again. And if you're born again and you have sinned, the Bible says if you confess your sin, he will forgive you and clean you. And so we do business. Lord, which one of us haven't sinned is the question we need to ask. And the one who says he hasn't is the one who hasn't realized yet that he has. And so, Father, would you forgive us for the sins of commission? I've done the wrong thing. I've never done the right thing. Omission. And so we deal with our hearts before him. And can you see how important it is? As often as we do this, we're going to remain in the place of incredible liberty, incredible freedom in God. And then we look around, discerning the body. We look around. We break bread together. We wait for each other. We're going to do it in groups because we need you. I need you. You need me. We need each other. This is it. This is the family of God. This is the closest people on the planet to me. And I love every single one. Everyone here is important. Everyone anointed of God. Everyone appointed of God. Everyone. Exactly what Christ went through when he was in the water of baptism. Spirit of God filled him. And remember, heaven opened. And what did God say? Are you one of the crowd? That's how we often feel. No, this is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. Isn't that great? We live under the approval of God. And so, Father, teach us to love one another. That's sometimes where the sin is. And it says, before you come and do this, maybe just deal with your heart there. Lord, help me forgive like you forgive, without precondition, without, you know, any long argument. I just want to forgive like you, Lord. Amazing. In the Lord's Prayer, you say, thank you for the forgiveness of your sin, and as I forgive others who've sinned against me. See what I mean about what we've received, we can give. So God's doing all of this in my heart. Isn't God cool? Good. Awesome. Yeah. Yes, they march around the city and they shout just for walls to go down. We shout because humanity has been set free. We got a return of Christ that we're waiting for. Today we're going to see people baptized in water. What an awesome occasion. I hope this isn't, I'm not going to stay for the baptism. I've got to get home. There's more important things to do. IPL or soccer or rugby. By the way, Sharks won yesterday. Where's Laurie? Just want to tell him. Way more important things to do than that. And people are going to be, today, they're going to say death to my old nature and new life. I'm rising in new life again.